international students in Wisconsin say they're worried about their future following a recent wave of visa terminations. It's Thursday, April 17th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a project for a planned tunnel to house an oil and gas pipeline in the Great Lakes is getting fast-tracked. And murders in Milwaukee have been on the decline. Evan Casey will tell us about the effort to keep it that way. Stay with us.
Be fully awake to your day with Wisconsin Today.
Hearing new voices and new discoveries about something I never knew existed in Wisconsin.
We like to get out. We don't like to warm a couch. We like to be on the go all the time.
But it's those things that we unexpectedly find on back roads that we talk about forever, and those make the best memories.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
International students in Wisconsin are deleting their social media profiles and distancing themselves from pro-Palestinian organizing. This after a recent wave of visa terminations, including more than 50 in the state of Wisconsin. Anna Marie Yanni has the details.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison says it doesn't think recent visa terminations on campus were tied to past protests. But international students are worried they'll be targeted for pro-Palestinian activities the Trump administration has called anti-Semitic. A UW-Madison graduate student from Pakistan told WPR she participated in protests in the past. The student, who asked to remain anonymous, says she shut down her social media in case it makes her a target. She says some friends have even moved apartments.
And so I think a lot of people are feeling really, really worried that they're next.
Pro-Palestinian organizers say the visa terminations have had a chilling effect on speech. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Republican Party of Wisconsin has a new process for ousting GOP officials if they harass or defame fellow Republicans or lawmakers. The new rules were passed Sunday by the state GOP Executive Committee. State GOP Chair Bill Fain says they're aimed at, quote, egregious behavior. For example, some local Republican leaders allegedly blocked rank and file members from voting on party business.
There are far too many people who have decided that our Constitution and our rules don't apply to them. That's a situation that just can't be allowed to continue. Yeah, when they start violating people's rights at the level of not letting them vote, you know, we have to take action.
The rules come after some county leaders have criticized the state party and called for Chair Brian Schimming to resign. Republican chairs in Milwaukee and Oconto counties have accused the state party of stifling dissent. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is fast-tracking review for a planned $750 million tunnel to house an oil and gas pipeline in the Great Lakes. As Danielle Kading reports, the decision comes after President Donald Trump declared a national energy emergency.
The Army Corps' review of Enbridge's proposed tunnel project will be subject to emergency permitting procedures. That means federal review will be cut short. The tunnel would house a rebuilt stretch of Enbridge's Line 5 in the Straits of Mackinac that's at risk from anchor strikes. Mahir Saru is director of Beyond Fossil Fuels Policy at the Sierra Club. She says cutting review and public input short is unacceptable.
We are committed to fighting against Line 5 in every step of the process.
An Army Corps official says the agency is confident it will reach a decision on the best available information under the process. An Enbridge spokesperson says the project is designed to, quote, make a safe pipeline safer. A draft environmental review will be released around June. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin manufacturers and farmers rely on exports. But new tariffs pose major challenges for those businesses. That's according to a new Wisconsin Policy Forum report. Last year, Wisconsin exported more than $27.5 billion worth of goods, but the inflation-adjusted value of state exports is actually down from a decade ago. The report says new tariffs by the Trump administration are the, quote, most expansive in generations. Tyler Burns is the report's author. He says state officials have limited options to support exporters who are caught in the crossfire.
They can do what they can in terms of building relationships or trying to find tax policies or regulatory policies that allow businesses to work more efficiently. But at the end of the day, the trade policies make a big difference in the cost of our goods.
He says retaliatory tariffs from other countries could make it more expensive for them to buy goods in the state. Shoppers can expect to pay more for chocolate Easter eggs and bunnies this year. As Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports, cocoa prices have skyrocketed over the past few years.
Most cocoa is produced in West Africa, and climate change has brought excessive heat to the area, limiting the crop's production. David Ortega, a Michigan State University food economist and professor, says this has contributed to higher input costs for chocolate producers and higher prices for consumers.
We haven't seen this level of price increase in the sort of the global price of cocoa going back to even the early 1990s. We're sort of in uncharted territory here.
Ortega says people still tend to buy chocolate during tough economic times because it's an affordable luxury, but recent tariffs could make chocolate products even more expensive. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
Coming up, WPR's Evan Casey will tell us about the effort to keep homicides down in the city of Milwaukee. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
And finally, for 3 years in a row, the city of Milwaukee saw a record number of homicides committed. But now, murders have been trending down in the city over the past 2 years. Evan Casey has a look behind the effort to keep those numbers down.
How you doing, brother? Can I give you one of these?
Stephen Hopkins and Jose Malave are out on Milwaukee's north side on a windy spring day, handing out brochures for victims of violence. Just weeks earlier, a 16-year-old and a 27-year-old were shot and killed in a nearby park.
And this is typical at this time of year. We get super busy. As you know, when the weather changes,
sun's out, guns out.
The two men are with the city's critical response team. After several bad years, they're seeing some progress. Even after the recent incident, Hopkins says non-fatal shootings are still down in the city compared to last year.
We want to keep that momentum going. Even though we know that it may spike in spring and summer, we just want to keep that momentum going.
Like many larger cities, homicides spiked in Milwaukee during the pandemic. In 2022, 214 people lost their lives to homicide. That was the highest number ever recorded in the city. But there were 172 homicides in 2023. Last year, it went down again to 132. That's still above pre-pandemic numbers. But activists and officials say they're encouraged by the declines. Now, they hope to build on that progress.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon.
Days after the start of the new year in 2023, community organizers gathered to call for peace after yet another deadly year. Now, over 2 years later, many of those same leaders are meeting again, this time to talk about what's working. David Muhammad, Milwaukee County's Deputy Director for the Department of Health and Human Services, is running the meeting at Turner Hall in downtown Milwaukee. He says the decline is an encouraging trend.
This is happening at a time where there are less police, limited budgets, challenges in the school district. So the perfect storm of negativity is still happening, but the positive decisions are also being made by people in the community.
Leaders in the community have pointed to violence prevention initiatives like the Critical Response Team as one of the factors behind the decline. Karen Tyler of the city's Office of Community Wellness and Safety says members of that team work to mediate conflicts between gangs.
There may be a homicide, and then we're trying to get ahead to make sure people don't retaliate against that person, and then, you know, the violence continues.
Jose Malave is a former gang member. He works with the team now because he says he wants to save lives.
You know, I'm tired of seeing all the youth killing each other every day, going to jail, going in and out of jail. So, you know, I wanted to make an impact on my community.
Another violence prevention effort is 414 Life. Reggie Moore is the Director of Violence Prevention Policy and Engagement at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and he works with that team. He says members worked in a, quote, priority neighborhood last year and saw a decline in both homicides and shootings.
Not just building relationships with business owners and, residents, but also the young people hanging out on the corner or the adults hanging out on the corner or individuals, again, who are known, to be involved in things that could lead to violence in their lives.
Although homicides are down in Milwaukee, they still haven't gone down to pre-pandemic levels. And as of this week, the city has had two fewer homicides in 2025 than it had at this time last year. Community activists like Tracy Dent saying there's more work that needs to be done.
As a violence is a constant, the solution also has to stay as a constant. Even though sometimes you need to go back and reevaluate what works, what doesn't work, it still has to continue.
Moore says a 2017 city plan aimed at addressing violence in the city needs to be updated. He called that the city's, quote, North Star to address the issue. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Our thanks to WPR's Evan Casey for bringing us that story. Finally, a quick check of weather before going for the day. We'll see high temperatures in the 50s and 60s today, but clouds building throughout, and eventually we will see some rain starting, first in western and southern Wisconsin, but eventually moving across the entire state overnight. Could see some thunderstorms in the south tonight as well, with low temperatures in the 40s and 50s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks so much for joining us here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. As always, if you leave us a rating and review, we really appreciate it. It helps others find the show, and we love hearing from you. You can leave a review on your favorite podcast app or send us an email at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.